just, you know, sometimes that triggers your mind, and just like that, it came to my mind, and I remembered when Jesus said, as you have done it to the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. And so what you did the other day might have been a blessing to that lady, but you did it for Jesus. All right. The book of Proverbs is a book that's like little nuggets of wisdom. It's a part of the wisdom literature, and it's one of the only books where you can take two or three verses, and as you look at them, it's a complete thought. And as far as the context is concerned, the context is more wisdom all the way around it. And so this morning, I want to preach two verses. In Proverbs chapter 3, we're going to look at verses 5 and 6 together. And we're going to think about completion in life. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. How many things do you hear about today that they say the complete guide to? And I have seen them all. I got an advertisement, and they were going to send me, if I subscribed to their magazine, they were going to send me a free one that was the complete guide to home remedies. They also had one that was the complete guide to cleaning everything. And everywhere you look, you're going to find someone that wants to give you the complete guide to something, and I even saw one that said the complete guide to everything. This morning, as we read Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, I want you to think about this passage as the complete guide to joyful living. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Let's pray together. Father, I pray this morning that the very power of your Holy Spirit would minister your word in each life, that each one as they leave might leave never having been the same, because they were here. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. How many of you live out your life with absolutely no problems? No issues, no trials, no tribulations. Everything goes right every day. I've got news for you. If that's how your life is, you're dead. Because that's not how life works. And yet, I want you to know that there's a simple saying that I want you to think about all through the little sermon that we're going to have. And it simply says this. If you could learn to do this, it would change your entire life. If every single trial and every single temptation you had, in the midst of it, if you could just stop, look up, and say, I trust you, Jesus. I trust you, Jesus. You see, that's the complete guide to joyful living. As I thought about this, and I thought about the trust, this passage is not one that requires me to do a lot of word study and background. It's just so cut and dried that you could have preached this yourself. And the first point is simply this. The passage says, trust completely. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust completely, wholehearted trust. Wholehearted trust, first of all, in all things, in every situation and trial of life. You know, so many times we don't trust in everything. We treat the Lord many, many times like one of those little red boxes you see in every public building that says, break glass if you smell smoke. And we treat the Lord like our own private little fire station, where whenever life gets too hectic and too heavy for us to bear, we just break the little glass and God bails us out. The thing is, God would love for us to trust Him in all things. I have found something in life, and many of you have been around as long as I have, and so you understand exactly what I'm saying, and you've probably been there and done that. I have found in my life that the things, no matter how small, the things that I don't trust the Lord with are the very things that go wrong. The very things that go wrong. When we say that we trust completely, wholeheartedly, that calls for something in us that's hard to do. It calls for us to trust Him in complete submission. Complete submission. And we don't do that very well. Do you like the book of Job? Let me give you one little example out of the book of Job. And Job starts out well in this verse. In Job chapter 13 and verse 15, this is what he says. Though he slay me, I will trust in him. Boy, that's good, isn't it? But then look at how he follows it up. And he says, nevertheless, I will argue my ways before the Lord. Boy, aren't we that way? Come on, admit it. Of course you are, so am I. Oh, we make a big thing of, I trust the Lord in everything. I trust Him in all things. Nevertheless, you know that word nevertheless gets you in a lot of trouble. Gets you in a lot of trouble when it comes to God. That means, God, I trust you in everything except this. And what he says is, Lord, I trust you in everything, but now I want you to understand that in this I'm right. I'm right. Nevertheless, Lord, I'm right about this. You see, it takes complete submission to trust completely. Anything less will produce heart trouble. Have you ever had heart trouble? Now I'm not talking about going to the doctor, you know, having a nuclear stress test, having a catheterization, having stents. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the good old-fashioned heart trouble that all of us have from time to time. Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9 says this, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can trust it? Now, we're talking about trusting God, but I want you to know you can't trust your heart. You can't trust your heart. It's desperately wicked. Your heart will lead you down the path that it chooses. The path that it... Do you know how many people are in jail for stealing, because their heart justified to them that after all they had this coming anyway. They needed to just take it. You see, your heart will justify anything that your will craves. Anything that your will craves, your heart will justify. And so there's an illustration that was on TV last night or the night before, and I don't remember, just to show you an example of anything less than complete trust in the Lord, trusting in your heart, you get in trouble. Did you see in the news about the bear bit lady? And I'm not making light of that. I hate that she got mauled by the bear. But now, come on. The bear's in the cage, and the bear's a wild animal, and I'm sure that there's a sign that says, don't reach in the cage, don't touch the bear, don't aggravate the bear, don't feed the bear. I don't know what it says, but I guarantee you it says, don't mess with this bear. And just because there was a place to reach in there, the heart said, go ahead, you can pet that bear. You can pet that bear. Why, bless his heart, he's been here all caged up for a long, long time. What do you think God would have said? Put your hand in your pocket, but don't put it in that cage. But the heart said, you can do it. You can do it. And so first we need to learn to trust completely. Trust completely. Trust in the Lord wholeheartedly with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. Do not lean on your own understanding. Now, we're going to have an interactive sermon here because I want you to see how this works. And I know you'll help me. All right. Do not lean on your own understanding. Let's talk about your own understanding. Somebody will say to me, well, Brother Bob, as I see it, now what I needed was for each of you to have one of those little buttons you push and it goes, bang, and I could see who buzzes first. We'll do this again. Brother Bob, as I see it, well, some of you got the picture. Bang. You see, I don't care how you saw it. I don't care how you see it. I care how God sees it. Because that's the important thing. But you know, we want to say, well, you know, here's another one. Well, this is how I understand it. I don't care how you understand it. What I care about is how God said it. How God said it. You know, I've been around people all my life that can take what God said, twist it around, and by the time they're done, it's just completely opposite. And so, no, that's not leaning on, that's leaning on your own understanding. Well, now, if I understand this right, I was going to say, most of you missed that one. Maybe that's because you said it. Well, if I understand this right, here again, doesn't matter how you understand, it's how God said it, isn't it? This is what God said. Most times when we say, well, if I understand this right, what we're saying is when I'm justifying what I'm doing because that's how I understand it. That's how I understand it. How about, well, Lord, you just don't understand. Because God does understand. God knows you. He knows me. More than that, he knows exactly how everything should be. Well, everybody's saying, you're tired, aren't you? Yeah. You were up too late last night. You get the picture, don't you? Well, I just don't see. Well, you usually don't see because you don't want to see. Because you want to see, it's your way. Well, I just don't understand what God's saying. Now, you know exactly what God's saying. I've found something pretty sharp about God's word. And you mark my word, you find a place that is contrary to what I'm going to tell you right now. You find one and then you come and tell me. In every single part of God's word that is critical to the way you live your life, it is so black and white that a child of six can understand it. Now, people might want to argue about the millennium, and some are premillennial, some are amillennial, some are postmillennial, some are dispensational. I personally am panmillennial. It's all going to pan out just the way God wants it. You see, all those things people argue about don't mean a thing. Jesus is coming when he wants to. And there are going to be people who say, well, I don't understand. This isn't the right time. I just don't see it. I just don't see it. You know, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:7 that we walk by faith and not by sight. And let me tell you exactly what that means. Give you a little statement you can live by. Trusting doesn't need to see the answer. It just needs to see God. Trusting doesn't need to see. I don't need to see the answer. I just need to see God. That's all I need. The third part of what we read says this: in all your ways, acknowledge him. Now, too many of us are you know, we look at the Lord and say, well, Lord, I've got this. It's okay, don't trouble yourself. I got this, Lord. You see, we need to acknowledge the Lord in all things, in all ways. We need to acknowledge his provision. His provision. Did you ever have somebody say to you, boy, you're really lucky. You're really lucky. You know what my answer to that person is? I am not lucky. I am blessed. I am blessed. Luck has absolutely nothing to do. I don't live on luck. I live on God's provision. And I am blessed. I love the passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And by the way, this is one that is misquoted. Lots of times people will say, well, you know, I know that God said that he'll never put more on me than I can stand. That's not what he said. I'm going to read you exactly what he said. I'm going to read it slow. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man, to everybody. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, that ye may be able to endure it. God does not raise his children to be wimpy sissies that need to be bailed out of every section of life. He raises his children and equips them and provide for them to walk through this life as victors. I have the victory. I read the last chapter. I know who wins. And I don't have to fight that fight. So we acknowledge his provision. We acknowledge his protection. And you know, that's a hard thing to do. I'm finally getting to an age where I have to just have to admit that I can't whip everybody in the room. That came clear to me my last birthday. You know, we walk through life that way. I can handle it. I can handle it. Well, the truth of the matter is, I've never handled it as well as God handles it. Never in my life, never on my best day. And you see, to accept God's strength in your life, you must first admit your weakness. Admit your weakness. A lot of people say, oh, well, you know, I'm just weak, but they don't mean it. That's not what they mean. They just say that, so that's the churchy thing to say. We need to acknowledge his love and mercy and grace. You know, we look at people less fortunate than us. We need to understand that by the grace of God, but by the grace of God, that's me. And you know what that tells you? Don't ever look down your nose at someone else, because God can take that nose in a minute. In a minute. His provision, his protection, his love, his mercy, his grace, his blessing. Most of us are a whole lot better at asking than we are at thanking. Do you ever notice that? We're better at asking than we are at thanking. I had an experience with a little boy the other day, and this was at the hospital waiting for somebody in surgery. And this was the cutest little fellow. He was 3 years old, and I mean, he just wanted me to take him home with him, I guess. He came over and he sat down between, well, he sat by his mother, but he took her hand, he reached over, and he held my hand for a while. He was the best little fellow, and he was good at saying please and asking for me to do something for him, but his mother had to remind him a lot to say thank you. How many times do we go through life with our hand out and then fail to put our hand up? You remember that. Every time you sit there with your paw out, after God blesses you, put that hand up, praise him, thank you, Jesus. Above all else, we need to acknowledge his sovereignty. His sovereignty over all of life. His sovereignty over all of life. And that means every part of life. The last thing I want to share, and I'll do this quickly. It says that if we do those things, if we trust in the Lord with all our hearts, lean not under our own understanding, in all our ways acknowledge him, then the promise is, he will make our paths straight. He will make our paths straight. One of the greatest blessings in the entire Bible comes in Jeremiah chapter 18. In Jeremiah chapter 18, you may be very familiar with the passage. It's the passage of scripture that deals with the potter and the clay. And let me just tell you what it says. I'll read the first four verses. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I shall announce my words to you." Well, then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was, making something on the wheel. But the vessel that he was making of clay was spoiled in the hand of the potter. So he remade it into another vessel as it pleased the potter to make. The passage says he'll make your path straight. And I think of the potter and the wheel, and the Lord said, "Behold, the clay is in the potter's hands, and so are you in my hand." It said that God is in the process of making. And in that process, we spoil the work that he's doing. In fact, if you, in that same chapter, go back up to verse 12, it says, and after all of it has been said, this is the response of the people, but they will say, "It's hopeless, for we are going to follow our own plans, and each of us will act accordingly to the stubbornness of his evil heart." And so we spoil the work that God is doing. But praise his holy, precious name, that in his love and his mercy and his grace, when we surrender to him, he remakes that life, makes it brand new. When you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, old things pass away. Behold, all things have become new. And God makes us as he pleases. Makes us as he pleases. When I was young, I liked to make model airplanes. And not the kind that have four pieces and you put glue on and stick them together and it takes 5 minutes. This was the kind that was made out of balsa wood and paper. And you had to have a little raised blade to cut the pieces out. And try as hard as I could, I never made one that looked like the picture on the box. And I promise you this. You make your life in your hands, and you will never make it in accordance with the plan that God has for you. Because God has a plan for you to give you a future and a hope. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Live life simply saying, "I trust you, Jesus." Let's pray. God, forgive us for those times when we take life in our own hands. When we live life according to our own understanding. Father, in those times, when we simply rebel and say, "I will not," oh God, I pray that you might speak to each heart this morning. Father, there are broken lives here this morning, broken lives that Jesus died to mend, broken lives, oh God. There are those here this morning that need to place their lives in your hands, surrender to your will, and allow you to remake them into what you'd have them to be. God help us. God touch each life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I invite you to stand quietly and prayerfully. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I cannot believe that in a broken world there are not broken people that need Jesus. How many times have you tried to fix it yourself? You will never, ever do it. The only way to wholeness is through the shed blood of Jesus. And so now the invitation is, will you come? Will you come to Jesus? Will you surrender your life? Will you stop struggling and simply trust him? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Dawn's going to sing our hymn of invitation. And I simply asked you this. Will you come to Jesus?
When I saw